step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take, the ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up.
And welcome back once again. This is Raylan Allen. You're listening to the Rumor Mill News radio show. And we're talking with Janet Swerdlow from Expansion.com. And we, before we left, I wanted to ask you, Janet, about the hyperspace tone of creation. I've never heard this phrase before. What are hyperspace tones?
Well, that is a tone of the pure frequencies that we're talking about. Every pure frequency has a color, it has a tone, and it has an archetype. And so a large part of what I do is I replicate those hyperspace tones of creation to help people understand more about who and what they are, because most people have never heard their own tone. Most people don't understand that aspect of it. And so even singing itself, for instance, is it's a challenging thing for most people, I'll say, because a long time ago, the only music that people were ever allowed to create was in church, was singing hymns, and some even today are not allowed to use musical instruments, and that's a very interesting way that the Illuminati has of making sure that the tones don't go where they're not supposed to go. Because if people would find out tones the way they're supposed to be, or that they can, what they can do with their tones, then they can, again, go back into setting those pure frequencies, creating their own rituals, making their own personal arcs, using tones. And so one of the things that most people are afraid of is public speaking. The next, of course, worse than that, is public singing.
Yes, isn't that the truth?
Yeah, so what I teach people in my classes is how to do the toning, how to create the tones, how to understand their own tone, and to go from there and to not be frightened of that, and how to challenge themselves to move. So that's what I do, and I use my American Indian genetics for that. Because they create very easily with the tones of the earth. I use my Magdalene to connect to Oversoul tones and to bring all those things together and to teach people how to blend. And it's an interesting and it's a fun thing once people realize that there are no, good tones, bad tones, ugly tones. It's just what is, and then it's learning to interpret what is.
You know, it's so incredible. I've belonged to many healing circles where we begin and we end the healing circles with the tones. But I never realized until I'm talking with you today how extremely powerful it is. And it makes me think maybe on this, on the 31st of December, everybody should just go out in their yard and instead of having a party, everyone stand out and just tone.
Well, and I tell people to tone in their showers, because the water amplifies, and then they have the four walls around them, that makes the tone come back, and then to start feeling where the tone hits them in their physical body, and to follow the tone and see where it goes, or to ask questions, or, it was interesting before I met Stuart, I would tone the earth and the sun and the water, and I would get all my answers, where did you come from, what did you do, blah, 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 and then when I met Stuart, of course, he got his answers in a different way, but what I had received to the frequency are exactly matched his answers that he had received in his way. So when you get into the frequencies of anything, that's how you get the pure knowledge, that's how you get the pure understanding of what's going on. That's when you're in that state of knowing by knowing, because that really is, that's how this whole universe is created. That's how God mind thinks, is with color, tone, and archetype. So you're really connecting on a very deep and intense level in a way that you know by knowing. How do you know? I just know because I know. That really is the most purest way of knowing. So it's interesting.
Well, you're talking, from the time we've been born, at least in my generation, we've heard the term the music of the spheres.
Mm-hmm.
And is this the tones?
Yes, absolutely. You know, people don't, there is selective seeing, there is selective hearing. If you're in a crowd of people, you know, you can tune out everybody else and focus in on one conversation. Or if you're sitting in your house and the airplanes fly over, trains go by, you tune that out. In the same way, people have tuned out specific tones. So yes, the trees have a tone, the water has a tone, rocks have a tone, gemstones have a tone. You know, every group has a specific tone. So you can begin to replicate that, and that's how, you know, the people of long ago, that's how they got their information, you know. Where did the indigenous people get their knowledge of plants? They went in and they heard those plants. They got into the frequency. They replicated the tones. They got into it. That's how they found out what it was. The way that you know what your stomach is because you have one. You're in it. You know if it's hungry. You know if it's going to get sick. You know if that, you know, you're nauseous. You know if it's full, if you've eaten too much. Those are feelings that you know because you have a stomach, because it's within you and you're within it. And the same way with these outer tones or frequencies, when you're in it, you understand it. And so the music of the spheres does exist. And what has happened is the way that, again, I'm going to go back to feng shui, because that's what a lot of people are familiar with, although that's not really the purest form of that genre, but it's what they understand. The way that the earth is set, people just plop their houses down anywhere, you know, they dig their tunnels, they lay their roadways, and they don't have any respect for the natural sound of the earth herself. And so that makes a lot of discordant sounds around us. So we tune all of that out. But as you get deeper into this understanding and deeper into self-study, you begin to hear the tones of the music of the spheres, of what the trees are, what they should be, and what they are, or the plants, what they should be, and what they are, and so on. The same with the tone of yourself, the same with the tone of the earth, or how your house is set up. All those things begin to come together and have that flow back to the closer of the point of its origin, out of the Oversoul, out of the God mind itself.
You know, what you've just been talking reminded me of being a little girl and walking through the forests and the creek, down by the creek, with my uncle, who was raised by Indians, by California Native Americans. And he used to tell me to listen, you know, listen to the sound of the trees, listen to the sound of the, you know, the grasses, listen to the sounds of the rocks. And when I was a little girl, I could actually hear the sounds of the trees and the plants. I could not hear the sound of the rocks, though.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, I picked up a rock to skip it across the creek.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You have changed the destiny of that rock."
Mm-hmm.
And was it your, you know, who gave you permission to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I said, "Well, I liked skipping rocks." And he says, "Well, you can skip rocks. You just have to find one that will give you permission to change its destiny."
Mm-hmm.
And so he, you know, he looked at the rocks for a long time, finally picked one up, tossed it, you know, just tossed it. He didn't even think about skipping it.
Mm-hmm.
But the rock skipped all the way across the creek and landed in the rocks on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this rock wanted to go back with its family, and most of them are on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, my God, he's just nuts. But now, as I hear you talk, I'm beginning to think that he was listening to the tone of the stones.
Absolutely. And, of course, when I had a little different element to that besides, I go the next step, which would be to ask the Oversoul, yes, your Oversoul, is this the rock I'm supposed to pick up? Does this rock want to be moved? Does this rock want to go somewhere else? And he's also telling you the whys and the wherefores, which most people don't get into that question. Most people ask one question, they get like an imp of an answer to it, and they think, oh, I've got an answer, and they stop. But what he was doing was he was moving you further and further and further, deeper into the consciousness of the totality of all that existed around you and how it was all interconnected. So it was an excellent lesson in that story. It's a beautiful lesson. I'll probably have to repeat that in one of my classes. That was good. I liked it.
Well, you see, I grew up with people like that.
Uh-huh.
And so every single adult that surrounded me had some sort of a metaphysical background, like like your family had.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't have turned out to be anything else but what they made me.
Mm-hmm. And that you put yourself there. You attracted all that. You know, think about what you did to get yourself in that spot to attract all these people around you so that your mind pattern wasn't closed down, so that your mind pattern was open and allowed to bloom and grow. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yes, it is. And there's a lot of people in this day and age that are born into families like that. And then unfortunately, because mama has to work and daddy has to work and they live in a different state than grandma and grandpa live in, so they don't have family to babysit, the kids are sent to school. The schools drug them, you know, with Ritalin, various other things. And so the soul may have planned perfectly for the life that it was going to lead and, got itself born into a family like you and I got ourselves born into. But then, because the minute they get here, the rules for the game suddenly get changed and mom can't stay home taking care of you anymore or homeschooling you, and suddenly you're at the mercy of the Illuminati again when you're a little child.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I agree to that to a point, because I do believe, because everything exists in the eternal now, that part of you thinks this is the way it's going to be, and then when you get down here, the rules are changed, but part of you also knows that and agrees to that. And to me, that's what makes us strong. That's when we cry and whimper and scream and complain and moan, myself included. I have been there, and some days I'm still there, so I don't want people to think just because I'm on the other end of the phone with you that I know everything and I apply everything, you know, perfectly without any issues. I have plenty. But I am learning, just like everybody else, that these challenges are making me stronger. And even I have, my son had a big health issue, and, you know, I was like every other mother, crying and screaming and praying for my son to get well. And my oversoul said to me, do you want him to get well before he's learned all his lessons?
Oh, my gosh.
And that was a real big eye-opener, because I had to stop. I mean, I couldn't say yes, I couldn't say no. It wasn't one of those things. It made me stop and think. As much as I wanted him to get well, I didn't want him to have worse lessons later on, you know, plus my own pain for watching him be sick. So, you know, a lot of things happen, but ultimately, he chose the path. Ultimately, I chose to support him in his own pains and struggles. And so the world supports us. You may not have a person, but the world is going to support you in your pain and struggle until you learn your lesson. And you really need to ask yourself, do I want this lesson to be taken away from me when I haven't finished it yet? Because am I just going to have to repeat it somewhere else? Some level, I came here. Some level, I chose this path. I need to learn what I set up for myself. I need to look at my challenges as ways to grow. I need to look at my challenges as teachers. I need to look at them as being okay, regardless of how I feel. I need to know that it's okay to be uncomfortable, to have pain and to hurt. I need to know all those things, and I'm still okay. And we are such a quick-fix society that we're not used to the struggle. We don't want it, you know, but we most of us who are listening and who are talking grew up with the general thing was you take a pill and, you know, everything goes away, whether it was a mental pill or a physical pill. And the old way, like what you're talking about, this Native American speaking to about the stone, that's the old way. That's a bit longer and it's a bit more struggle to get there, but once you're there, that's when things flow smoothly. That's when you know by knowing. You know, it's no different than watching a child grow, you know, and watching them learn to walk. Hey, that's a big experience for that child, learning how not to fall, learning how to maintain its balance, learning how to hold things and talk all at the same time. Now you do that without giving it a second thought. And the same way the things that we're talking about, in the beginning, yes, it's awkward. In the beginning, we're going to cry and scream a little bit because it is so awkward. But if you can get yourself through it and know that's not the end all to end all, but there's still more. You know, it's like I say about the New Age. The New Age taught people about the aura. Well, hey, that's great. What is an aura? You know, you can see colors. Big deal. What do you do with that? Then the next thing is people didn't even stop to think, what's beyond the aura? They got
right.
So caught up in the aura. What's beyond the aura? That's the way we are with most of our life. You know, we think we've arrived and we've just barely begun the journey. What's beyond? Let's go deeper. Let's ask that next question. And let's ask another question and another one and another one. Let's not take one tiny, tiny bit of an answer and say we've got it all. You know, we really have are stunted in our mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical growth at this point. We have accepted that. You know, yes, people have oppressed us, but we've accepted that oppression. And when you stop it and you don't give it any credence, it goes away. You know, if you don't like McDonald's, don't eat at it. And eventually, if nobody eats at McDonald's, they're going to close the doors. And it's the same way with everything else that goes on in life.
Yes, but McDonald's puts such wonderful flavors in their things.
How don't they go? Lovely distractions.
Taste so good.
Lovely distractions, and people enjoy their pain and misery. And, you know, we talk to hundreds of people, you know, weekly. We get hundreds of emails every day. I'm sure you see the same thing. We know lots of people who really enjoy their pain and misery. They can scream to me all they want that it's terrible. Can, you know, how does it go away? And I sit there and I look at them on a different level, and I think to myself, you are really happy where you are. You're not ready to let go of that. And that's okay. It's not a judgment. It's an observation. But we need to look at ourselves, at our screaming and our yelling. Hey, are we really ready to let that go? You know, you have to evaluate for yourself where you are. I can't evaluate you. I can observe, and I can go to my Oversoul and discuss so I can learn about me. But you ultimately are the one who's learning about you.
You know, when you were talking about your son, something in my mind skipped from you, you know, praying for your son to get well and not die. And it skipped to suicide. And don't ask me why I made this connection, this skip. But then I got on suicide for a bit, and then I thought, gosh, the Catholic Church forbids suicide. And if the Catholic Church is the Illuminati, and the Illuminati forbids suicide, what do you feel about suicide?
I'll address the church first, then I'll say what I think. But the church, I believe, because when things are rough, they don't want their subjects killing themselves off, because then they won't have any subjects.
That's true.
But suicide in general, you know, and especially around the holidays, a lot of people get involved in that, and we've had, you know, we get a lot of people with those kind of feelings. And what I tell them is kind of the same thing that I'm telling everybody right now. I'm saying, you know what? If you take yourself out, it's going to be worse because you didn't learn what you took all the time to set up for now. So it can always be worse. You have to remember that. You may not be in a body, and it will get worse. So you don't want to take your life just because you can. You need to stay here. You need to buckle up. You need to grow up. You need to realize that you assigned yourself these lessons, and you need to do what you came here to do. I'm sorry if it hurts. I know what that feels like. I have compassion for your journey, but you're where you need to be. You need to do it.
That's exactly the way that I feel about it, too, that if you commit suicide, and that's why if anybody ever hears that I've committed suicide, you know darn well I didn't, because I never would, because I know darn well that if I don't complete the mission that I signed on to complete, then the next time I come back, it's going to be a heck of a lot worse.
Yeah, and it's going to be worse on the other side besides, before you even get into another body.
Yes, I don't even like to go there.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you have to spend a little bit of time in what Christians call hell.
Yes.
And
it's self-inflicted, absolutely, you know, and I agree with you, and I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so folks, no matter how bad it gets, shooting yourself is not, or taking your life in any way. And yet, I have to remember the man whose wife was dying of Alzheimer's, and he just saw her suffering and suffering and suffering, and so he shot her and then shot himself.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I don't think that God is going to punish him for that one.
Well, you know what? I always say God doesn't punish you, punish yourself. And
okay.
To me, again, you know, when we talk about universal law, there are many levels. There's a just like if you're going to school, there's a different rule for a kindergartner than there is for somebody in elementary or junior high school, college. You know, the laws kind of change a little bit. Like, for instance, a kindergartner, you wouldn't put them behind the wheel of a car and say, drive. You know, that would be illegal. But
right.
By college, you could put them behind the wheel of a car and say, drive. You know, so... You know, it's the same thing. There are different circumstances, and we're really talking generalities here.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, and I'm not saying if that was correct or not correct, because I haven't looked at it. But you go to your Oversoul, you get your answers, and then you know what you're supposed to do, because you're understanding what's in that pure energy stream. so, you know, with that, you know, you have to go to your Oversoul and make those decisions. And sometimes decisions can be really tough. And sometimes I say to my Oversoul, you know, I'm not sure if what I'm doing is correct. If it's not correct, I trust you to correct it and me and show me what I'm doing. So I do the best I can, and I think that's all each of us can ask of ourselves. We do the best that we can. We stay connected, as consciously connected, as best as we can. And then we say, hey, you know, I'm doing the best I can. Correct me in a way that I can, you know, most comfortably handle. And let me go from there.
Getting back to the tones again, how do you learn what a tone means? I mean, if suddenly you're in the bathroom and you're going, ah, do you ever learn what that tone means?
You follow the tone to see where it takes you, or you can put something in mind and do it. For instance, you could put your foot, because you did a lower tone, you know, you could put your foot in a tone, and then you could tone your foot and see what that meant. So concentrate on your foot, feel the tone vibrate in your foot, make the tone, and then you could ask the questions, whatever you need to ask about your foot. You could do that with your hand, you could do that with your heart and your emotions, you can do it with a plant. You know, you can do it with a ball, you can do it with the sun, and so on. And you just keep going, and it's, again, about asking questions, 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 questions. And you ask new questions. You know, a lot of times, my general example to people is, you know, a lot of people want to know about their love life. So, you know, they might ask a card reader, and then they might ask a rune reader, and then they ask a palmist, and they ask an astrologer. It's the same question. You have to learn to develop new questions. That's what takes you up into vertical learning versus staying on a horizontal plane. And the same thing when you make your tones. Whatever the tone is, you can go, you start asking your Oversoul, what is this tone? Why am I making it? Where is it taking me? And see what comes into your mind and follow from there.
Well, that's extraordinary. So what is this tone? Where is it taking me? What does it mean? What is it teaching me?
Mm-hmm.
And so what is it doing for me? All these different questions. Well, I can just see that tomorrow morning when lots of our listeners are taking showers, they're going to be in the shower toning.
It's funny, I had one woman say to me, she said, you know, I only get to my throat and then I can't tone anymore. I said, well, what does it sound like? And she made all these sounds, and I said, well, that's because you've got lots of stuff to say that you're not saying. That's all the words that, you know, you've held back. So, you know, it's not, again, about what it sounds like. It's like, what is it and why? Like you just said, the questions. Ask the questions and don't accept one answer as the end-all. Keep going.
And so you're toning, stay on the same tone for a little bit, and then say, okay, what is this tone teaching me? What is it doing for me?
And allow it to move as it needs to move. Just like if you're writing affirmations, if people have done that, you know, those change. Your tones change, and you go from one tone to another tone to whatever, and you sit there and see how it feels, just like what you're saying.
Extraordinary. I'd never realized that I could actually tone and be taught by the very tones that I am toning.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. It's an extremely fascinating language. You could create a dictionary of tones. You know, you think about all the tones that you already know. You know, an airplane flying overhead, a door slamming. You know, you could, if you think about all the tones, the leaves rustling, you could create a sound dictionary. And so I tell people, then you go into the next level. And it's really fun to do, because I do a lot of toning work in my classes. And what people come up with, they're amazed. You know, we did one, I'll just briefly tell you, but where everybody went around the room. It was my self-challenge class that we did in August. I do a personal intensive every August. So this was challenge yourself. So people then introduced themselves by a name. They made a sound. And then people drew archetypes and shapes. And then we compiled those, and we drew those out, and then we interpreted those, and lo and behold, it described that person. So it was very interesting what people already know, but no one has really stopped to help them label that so that they could continue that process.
You know,
but what people
is,
already know is extraordinary.
That is just such an incredible idea, and so many people already belong to meditation groups. I think you need to take what Janet just said, and the next time you're at your meditation group, instead of introducing yourselves by name, you know, first pass out crayons and paper so that people can draw, and then each person draws what the person is toning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a wonderful idea, Janet.
Yeah, it was fun. And then what we did, if they wanted to do that, then what if you don't, say if there were 15 people that did, made my tones, then I would get all those 15 papers. Then once I had all those 15 papers, then I gave those to the person on my left or right, whatever, to another person. Then they compiled three things out of those 15 papers that were similar, shapes and color. And then they put that together and then went back and we interpreted. So we kept moving things around so that people had a chance. If you do things really fast, people don't have time to use that linear logic. So what I like to do is I like to get people off guard a bit and move it really fast. And then they just, boom, what comes to them right away. And believe it or not, that's usually like 100% accurate. But they have time to think about it. They think themselves or talk themselves out of it.
My gosh, that is just an absolutely incredibly wonderful technique. I'm going to have to, if I ever give workshops again, I'm going to have to get your permission to borrow your technique.
Oh, absolutely. Share away. That's what this is about. We all learn from each other.
And, Janet, you are going to be giving a class very soon, and it's going to be on family. And, of course, we're coming up to one of the biggest family holidays that we've got, and we've got people that are dreading being with family. And, of course, we've got other people that don't have any family, and they don't want to be. Anyway, let's talk about family when we get back. This is Rumor Mill News Radio. My name is Raylan Allen, and we are talking with Janet Swerdlow. You can see her site by going to expansions.com, and we will be right back here on the Micro Effect Radio Network.
One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your open mind.
And welcome back one more time. We're talking with Janet Swerdlow of Expansions.com. You're listening to RumorMillNewsRadio.com. And I'm going to be talking to Janet about a workshop that she's going to be giving soon. And it's of particular relevance right at this particular time because the holiday season is upon us. If you close your eyes, you can smell the holiday dinner complete with all the trimmings. And you can see yourself surrounded by family, all warm and cozy and smiling and thinking to yourself how lucky you are to be surrounded by people who accept you and love you for what you are. But you know something? There are people that don't have those warm and cozy, you know, happy, snuggly feelings for going home because they've got problems with their brothers, and with their aunts, with their mothers. And so, Janet, how do people like this, well, first of all, how do they get through this Christmas season? But secondly, how can they get rid of all of these triggers that mom pushes every time you come home so that you really can't stand coming home at all?
Well, I think that we have to go back again into, you know, why you even chose that family to be born into to start with. And I think a lot of people never go to that point. The way that my knowledge is that we chose to be born into this family. We chose our name. We chose our parents. We chose our siblings. And if you start looking at it from that perspective, then you want to know why. And so if you have people in your family that are pushing your buttons, then again, you have to look at the whys. Why are they pushing my buttons? Is this an opportunity to grow? You know, what was I like when I chose this family? What was my own mind pattern at the point of inception into this reality? So all those things begin to create a little bit different way of looking at the holiday season itself, because what is portrayed on television for most people, even if they have a family to go home to and a holiday dinner to sit down to, there's usually a lot of undertones and backbiting and things that go on behind the scenes. And it may look really nice to somebody walking past your door, but if you're there, you know, there may be little digs that nobody else would catch but you, or you know, people are shooting glances at each other or people avoiding each other. There are always, always, always some kind of subterfuge going on within the family situation. And, you know, and I think if you realize that's the reality, then you don't feel so left out of everything. You have to go back to say, who am I? Why did I choose this family? And what is going on with me personally rather than what's going on with them?
So in other words, before you go to your, if you are one of the people who has difficulty with anybody coming to your Christmas dinner or, you know, opening your, when you open your presents, if you have trouble with anyone, maybe you should take a half hour and sit alone and just ask yourself, why did I choose to have this person as a member of my family?
Mm-hmm. And why? What are they teaching me about me? What do I need to learn? I mean, this is this puzzle. This is the life puzzle that everybody wants the answers to. But a lot of times people aren't willing to start here. They want to, you know, wait for their big epiphany when the clouds open up and there's thunder and lightning and lights flashing and so on. But your answer might be an Aunt Emma over there who's pushing all your buttons. And that's where you need to start looking. Rather than waiting for, you know, the sky to open and all these big things, take a look at what you've got, because that's what you gave yourself in the first place. In a way, it's like the suicide thing we talked about. Don't run away from it. Greet the challenge. What's going on here? Why am I uncomfortable? Why does she make me uncomfortable? Let's look at it. Let's ask some questions. Let's get in there and dig.
And the more uncomfortable you begin to feel when you ask this question, the greater the answer is going to be. And if you just go through this uncomfortable feeling, just let it go, let it go, let it roll over you, and then you're going to get the answer, and guess what? Not only aren't you ever going to have to go through it again, but next time you see Aunt, you know, Beulah or whatever her name is, you're not going to feel uncomfortable in her presence ever again.
Or even if you do, then maybe it won't be as bad, or maybe Aunt Beulah represents somebody else in your life, maybe in the workplace, you know, maybe a neighbor, that maybe she has those same qualities. So because that you're facing it, finally, you can face it in other people. You can deal with it. Plus, bottom line is you can face it in yourself. She's still just a reflection of you. Where is it within you? Where is it out of balance within yourself? This will give you more peace of mind about who you are and make your life flow smoother.
Absolutely. I want to open up the telephone lines. So, listeners, if you've got any questions for Janet, you can call 888-747-1968. We've got enough time left to take a number of questions. And one of them came in over my Rumor Mill News Skype. And I've never heard of this. Maybe you have. He said, ask about lion energy of God mind for holidays. Do you know what he's talking about?
Well, we talk a lot about the golden wing lion frequency.
Oh.
Which we talk a little bit about animal type frequencies that we can utilize for ourselves. And so the golden wing lion frequency is actually a relatively complicated archetype. It has to do with the Hebrew letter Aleph, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And that you can put above the crown chakra in gold, with a royal blue dot in the middle. If you don't, and the Aleph is A-L-E-P as in Paul, H. If anybody wants to look that up on the internet, they'll know what an Aleph looks like. And that in gold above the pineal gland. And that works to bring in some of the higher God mind frequencies. And so you can use that to help elevate yourself and your understanding. But that is a little bit more advanced topic than what we might be ready to discuss in totality here on the show.
Well, you know, Stuart calls himself Lion Man.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he call himself that?
Well, because he uses the lion frequency a lot,
mm-hmm,
to access the God mind. That's, you know, when there's an entry point into energy streams, and so if you want to enter, for instance, the lion frequency, which is a high frequency within the God mind matrix, then you would use a specific color, a specific tone, a specific archetype, which gets you entryway into the frequency. So that is one way of doing it. And he likes to use that frequency because that takes him where he needs to go within the God-mind matrix.
Amazing. What do you use?
Well, I use the tone. I use a little bit different. And depending upon where I need to go, I just am there. I mean, that's the way that I was born, and that's my nature. So I don't really use anything per se. I know I'm there, and I'm there.
You know, it's so amazing that so many psychics come, you know, they're teaching psychic development. And if you were born, you know, Janet, if you went to some of the psychic building classes that I have seen, they would have knocked every single original talent that you had out of you.
Well, it's interesting because when I was, you know, I was lucky because my father, which a lot of people know, was raised a Southern Baptist, but then when he was moved away from home, long story short, he wound up living in the basement of a spiritualist trance medium back in the late 40s. And so by the time I came along, you know, I was not shut down. He was on this path, and I was not shut down. And he told me I could not go to a psychic until I was 21 years old because I wasn't formulated in my body enough. So I couldn't wait till the day when I actually got to go to a real psychic. And I was so disappointed because I knew as much as them or more, you know, and I was like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And I kept looking and looking and looking for this person who was going to be a psychic and who was going to teach me. And I finally realized that I was my own teacher, that I was already connected to my oversoul. I learned that psychic energy is your personal energy that moves your body, your mouth, digest your food. That's the psychic energy. And I was already working with universal energy. And that's a whole different level, and I differentiate with people that between a psychic and between what I do. It's two different things. Psychics, most of them don't, if they use that name, they don't really realize the frequency that they're working off of. That's why they get tired. That's why they get sick. That's why they take on people's problems. I don't do that. I use my oversoul as my universal translator, and it takes care of everything. I don't communicate with anybody or anything except my oversoul. Everything goes up. My oversoul goes out and gets the information. My oversoul brings the information back down to me. And that is the only frequency that really I communicate with. My oversoul does all the work for me. Makes it really easy and simple.
Now, if someone is wanting to develop these abilities and maybe don't have the money or the time to go to one of your workshops, how would you recommend that they do that?
Well, first of all, I tell people that you're already there, and that's why I was telling you that little example about people doing toning and getting the understanding what that meant right away. And when they come to my classes, within 10 minutes, they're doing stuff that some people will say they need to study a lifetime for, because it's already there and they're already doing it. They just don't understand what they're doing it. And whatever area they're at, I seem to have this talent of showing them, okay, this is what you're doing now. This is how you grow from it. And that's been something I've always been very good at, and I'm grateful for that. I wrote my Decoding Your Life book many years ago. It's $30. If you can't afford that, you can go to a library, and you can check it out at a library. If they don't have it, they'll get it from a library that does have it. So basically, you can do it for free. You're already connected. You know you're already connected. You find out what you're already doing, and you build on it. And instead of waiting for the clouds, you know, in my Decoding Your Life book, it's full of basic, simple exercises.
And so it's called Decoding Your Life?
Decoding Your Life. It's a $30 book if you buy it from expansions.com. It's free if you go to your library and you just want to borrow the book. That's when I, long story short, I wrote it for people who wanted to understand what's going on with me. And what really you happen, you know by knowing, psychic, that's not what people think it is. What really is important is to be consciously connected moment by moment so you always have the answers. Wherever you go, whatever you do, with whomever you're with, you have the answers that you need. It might not be the answers you want to know, but the answers that you need are there, and you go step by step. And if you follow step by step, you'll get the next step and the next one and the next one. And that's how I have led my life, and I still lead my life. And if I have issues, I go back to my basics. You know, and people don't have the patience for that. But that's what it's about. Learn your basics and everything else is open to you. It's really, it's so easy. People have made it complex, but it's extremely easy, easy, easy.
Well, I've got another question that popped up here on my Skype, and the woman is wondering if you are truly connected to all the people that are in your family, because she says that she, her mother and her mother's brother are extremely close and connected, and her mother is always taking care of, you know, her younger brother. But the woman says, I feel nothing toward this man.
And that's a possibility. It depends on their connection. For instance, Waldensian frequencies, when they put the children into the different homes throughout Europe, I find I've met a lot of people who are replicating those particular lifelines in this lifeline. So you might have been an adopted child in another lifeline, and that child might have been a blood child, or that child might be on a frequency, the same frequency as the mother, but not as the sister. So again, you have to go into the frequencies and take a look. However, there's still a reason why that person chose to be in that family, and that's what you want to go in and find out. Why am I here? What am I learning? You know, why did I choose to be here? Technically, we are all connected. Technically, we are all family. We all come out of the God mind itself. It just depends on which particular frequency and who's closest to your frequency.
You know, it, you talked about the Waldensians. That's how you pronounce it? Waldensians, excuse me. You talked about the Waldensians being put in various families, being adopted out.
Yes.
And I can just imagine how some of those families treated those poor kids. But do you know that this went on right after World War II also? And this is one of the hidden pieces of history that nobody knows. The children, you know, they had to be eight or under, but the children of the high Nazi officers were sent to Israel to be raised as Jews.
Yeah, and also they did that with the American Indians. They took those children and placed them in, you know, English families, so to speak. They
yes.
did that in Australia to the Aborigine children.
And in
until
Canada.
The last, yes, until very recently. It's a ploy that they continue to use. So if you've had a lifeline like that, it's very likely you may not feel like you belong in your family, because you have to complete those feelings and things that happened in these other lifelines. And
so
I do see a lot of that.
In other words, this woman could have a one-on-one relationship with her mother because they shared the same mother, but the brother could have been one of those adopted people, or she could have been one of those adopted people, so there was no connection there.
Or there could have been, you know, he might have done terrible things to her in other lifelines, and so therefore
yeah.
she's numb to him. You know, there's all different things, there are all different variations, and when you come to my classes, I help you go inside of you and you find out what those answers are, so they make sense to you. But you can also do that yourself. You don't have to come to a class. It's nice to have like-minded people on the same search, but it's not necessary. You know, what's most important is that you have your question, you go inside, you explore that frequency, and you keep at it until you find your answers.
Wow. That just sounds like it is going to be a wonderful class. You know, especially having the people that are on the same path, and you've got a nice, secure little cave for a moment, where you're all going in and learning your lessons at the same time. Now, you and Stuart are also putting together a tour, an 11-day tour. Can you just describe that for us?
Yeah, I came across it was something that was out of the blue, that we had no intentions, you know, of going anywhere this January. But it came across my desk just about 3 weeks ago, and both of us looked out there and we said, we've got to do this. In October and November, we had really great conferences on the true history of the world, and it was really fabulous. It had to do a lot of the information we found when we were in our trip we took a group to the south of France this past summer, so we presented a lot of that information, and this cruise ties into it. We'll be going to Turkey, to the House of the Virgin Mary. We'll be going to Cyprus. We'll be going to Egypt. We'll be going to the Vatican. And I think that's it. And Greece. So more ancient civilizations, connecting up with the alien side of it. We're also going to be reprising our seminar that we did October and November on the true history of the Earth. And we're very excited about it because this is tying in some more gaps. And Stuart is working on a research book that will be out probably within, I'm going to say, the next year, because I've got a couple of books ahead of this research book. And he's finalizing his research. So it's going to be research. It's going to be teaching. It's going to be going back into these ancient civilizations. It's going to be going into your own DNA and what your place was in the historical times. It's going to be really fascinating. We're excited about what we're going to learn about ourselves, and we know that we're going to help other people learn more about their place in history as well. So it's going to be an amazing, amazing time.
Well, I know you're going to be on a cruise ship. Can you sort of give us an idea of how the tour, I mean, one day you're cruising and maybe Stuart and you are giving lectures, and then the next day you're out exploring. How's
yes.
it going to work?
We have shore excursions that we will be going on as a group. And what you said is basically what's going to happen is we will be doing the shore excursions. We will be meeting in the evenings. A couple of days that we have at sea, we will be meeting as a group. We'll be able to answer everybody's questions and give them exercises and things to do to open up their DNA, connect to the global energy that emanates from these places, and that is a boost in itself to getting into your own secrets, into who you are, where you came from, why you're here, into your purpose. And that's really what most people are asking. Now, why am I here? Why did I choose to be here at this time? And this is another way to help open up those aspects of yourself to bring those answers forward into your conscious mind. It's an amazing time. I'm really, really excited about this.
Well, how fit does somebody need to be?
There is some walking, and some of them, they can go on, they go to costacruise.com, and if you look under hot deals, from there you go to the sailing that leaves January 20th, on the Concordia, and it will tell you about the shore excursions. There is some walking. If you don't want to walk, you can stay on the bus. But you don't have to be an athlete to do these kind of things. They're really for just the average person out there who wants to get out and see and participate in history.
Okay, good, good. Because I know almost everybody I know walks with a cane, and I'm trying to be mindful of those with disabilities.
Yes.
And so you think that someone that actually has a disability won't have any problems on this tour?
Well, I think everybody needs to be mindful of their own limitations. However, this is a tour to learn to surpass those. And even when we went to France, you know, we had a couple people who had canes who went up some pretty steep mountains because they were determined. And when they got home, believe it or not, they continued and they got rid of their canes. So,
extraordinary.
Yeah. So it's all about, you know, who am I? What am I doing? What are my limitations? How can I surpass those? And why are they there to start with? Because once you find that mind pattern that started it and you correct the mind pattern, there's no need to have that limitation anymore.
Again, I couldn't agree more with you. And you've just encouraged me to try to figure out why I had some of the birth defects that I was born with so that I could move beyond them.
Absolutely. Everything changes and everything can be changed. The mind is all powerful, and you're hooked up to the most powerful source of all, your oversoul and God mind. So there is absolutely no reason for anyone to have any limitations of any kind unless they self-create and self-accept.
I've got another question, just came in. How can a mother who has had an abortion deal with that child?
Well, you know, I have that a lot. Abortion was really pushed for a long time, and every woman that I have ever talked to who has had an abortion has regretted it and felt very guilty. So what I like to tell them, without knowing their frequency specifically, is in general, the baby that came in only needed to be there for a small amount of time, and it was in agreement that the mother should terminate the pregnancy. So there's no need for guilt. There is a reason that that happened.
And the overarching reason that the United States has aborted something like 12 million people since, or maybe more than that, it's just an amazing number. I mean, it's almost as many as all these illegal aliens that we've got in here or more. What do you think, why do you think the United States and the world has done this to itself?
Well, you know, that's, again, multi-layered. Part of it is people killing people. You know, they're numbing people to the effect that they are killing life. So that's part of it. part of it. Some of those things are used in ritual. Some are used for medical experimentation. Some of it is used to create a victim of the females that this happens to. And so, you know, we could go on and on and on probably with reasons. I mean, it could go into lifetimes when people have caused other people to lose babies. It goes on and on. But, you know, so it's a variety of reasons.
Yeah, somebody just sent me the accurate number. It's 50 million. 50 million humans who are not here in the United States right now. And
but there's always a reason. And again, remember, there are no victims. There are only participants. We want to remember that as well. And we need to decide as a culture where we want to go with these things. Personally, I'm not for abortion. However, I would rather see a child, a pregnancy terminated than have a child come into an unwanted family. So, you know, again, I think it's a personal choice. And for whatever reasons, then you understand why the situation came to you and understand that for you personally.
I know when you see some of the things that mothers do to their babies, you know, burning them alive in ovens and different things like this, either because the mother is crazy or, you know, or this crazy mother thinks...
Reacting to programming a lot of times. And usually, you know, usually when you see things like that, that's how the parent feels about themselves. And the child loses its individual, and its ability to be an individual. It's like the person is doing it to themselves.
Janet, I can't believe we're at the end of the hour already. I can't believe that
it went so fast.
Anyway, can you give out some contact info in this last few seconds?
Sure. You can contact expansions.com. Visit the website. You can contact Janet at expansions.com if that you want to send me an email personally. Please use our Q&A section of the site if you have general questions, and everybody can benefit from your questions and our answers. We appreciate everyone out there who takes the time to visit our site, and we've got lots of good things coming up after the first of the year and going on right now. So enjoy the holidays, learn from them, and be determined to grow.
Thank you so much for being on Rumor Mill News Radio, and hopefully you'll come back soon.
Oh, thank you so much, Ellen. It was a pleasure.
Okay, and next hour we've got Chris Perillo from Pirabang, so stay with us here on the Micro Effect Radio Network. We'll be right back.